The end of June marks the end of our fiscal year. And on behalf of everyone at WBJC, thank you so much for your membership support. WBJC's interim general manager, Jonathan Pilewski, thought it would be nice to say thank you by highlighting the life and works of a different composer each day until June 30th. Let's call it 30 in 30. I'm Kati Harrison, and it's time for another installment. Unlike the blue jay or painted bunting, the hermit thrush is an unassuming, nondescript-looking little bird. But its melancholy, plaintive flute-like song turns the heads of angels. In a way, the life of composer Amy Marcy Cheney Beach resembles the hermit thrush. Being a woman, she was expected to follow certain social mores as a daughter and later as a wife, and she did so dutifully. But Amy Beach's music, like the song of the hermit thrush, was noticed, admired, and it won the ear of the nation, and she was dubbed the First Lady of American Music. The Cheneys knew their daughter Amy, born in New Hampshire on September 5th, 1867, was different from other babies. She could sing 40 songs by the age of one, and when she was two, the precocious toddler could harmonize every lullaby her mother sang her to sleep with. Before she was 10, Beach was composing music in her head that she would then play on the piano. Aside from composing music, Beach was a piano prodigy, taking up the music of Beethoven when she was 7 and performing publicly. Then in 1883, at the age of 16, she made her concert debut performing Beethoven's Piano Concerto No. 3 with the Boston Symphony Orchestra. Unlike a number of male prodigies, Beach, as a woman, wasn't given the opportunity to study music in Europe. So she studied with private teachers in her area and read everything she could find on composition. This made her one of the first successful American composers who had not studied in Europe. When she was 18, 2 years after her debut concert, Amy Marcy Cheney married a well-to-do Boston surgeon, more than twice her age, Henry Harris Aubrey Beach. The conditions of the marriage put an end to her touring, teaching, and taking professional composition lessons herself. She was allowed to give 2 recitals a year with any money she earned going to charity. Amy agreed to the conditions but wrote, "I thought I was a pianist first and foremost." Her husband did encourage her to compose, and 5 years later, she wrote a successful mass and piano concerto. One critic described her piano concerto as a colorful, dashing work. In 1896, her Gaelic Symphony, the first symphony by an American woman to be published, was premiered by the Boston Symphony Orchestra. George Whitefield Chadwick, the prominent Boston composer and educator, described the symphony as, quote, "full of fine things, melodically, harmonically, orchestrally, and mighty well built besides. He added, "I always feel a thrill of pride myself whenever I hear a fine work by any one of us American composers." And he declared that Mrs. Beach was now one of the boys. Amy Beach became one of the most admired women in America, and not just one of the boys, but also a poster child for female achievement by the women's suffrage movement. She even performed at the White House. And though she was a loyal, longtime Republican, Beach struck up a friendship with Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt and cherished her autographed photo of them. In 1910, after the death of her husband and her mother, Amy Beach traveled to Europe to rest and process her grief. Shortly thereafter, Beach began concertizing again in the States and Europe, as well as teaching. In her remaining 35 years, and she lived to 77, Amy Beach championed and encouraged women. She called her work pioneer work and said, "Music is the superlative expression of life experience, and woman, by the very nature of her position, is denied many of the experiences that color the life of man." In 1921, while visiting the McDowell Colony, Amy Beach encountered a hermit thrush singing its heart out. She notated the song verbatim on paper and then played it back to her feathered visitor. Apparently, the hermit thrush answered, and they had a conversation. Based on the experience, Beach wrote two haunting pieces, Hermit Thrush at Morn and Hermit Thrush at Eve. I wonder if Amy Beach somehow recognized in the hermit thrush her own life's mission to express herself through music. I'm Kati Harrison. Thank you for listening to this edition of 30 in 30. If you would like to make a pledge of support, you can go online to wbjc.com.